Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You guessing what it was going to sound like? That was your guess at the key?
That was it. Yeah.
Come in with me here.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Gadeau, Penn, Matt Brady, Rich, and I are broadcasting from Show Creator Studio South. And this week, Penn and Teller are leading the charge to try to get people vaccinated. We'll get Penn's unbiased review of Dylan's Shadow Kingdom, and we'll say goodbye to Jackie Mason. Here he is preaching love. It's Mr. Penn Jillette.
He's standing up and dancing. Look at him go.
Pretty great.
I ought to stand up and dance. You know, I was driving in today, and I was thinking about stuff. And I'm listening to Stephen Fry's Mythos.
Yes.
Boy, is that a good book.
I got to get it.
Boy, is Stephen Fry great. Yeah, I'm listening.
He is great.
But I, when I drive over here, I do my vocal warm-up on the way in to make sure my voice is just where it should be.
There it is, right in the pocket.
Right in the pocket. And then afterwards, I don't put on Mythos because I'm going to be driving over, and I think, well, I should be thinking about the show. So I'm sitting, driving in the car, thinking about the show. Just thinking out loud. And I decide, well, I'll listen to John Prine's Pretty Good. Because on my YouTube, which is part of my CarPlay, which is part of my phone, right after the downloaded vocal warm-up of 5 minutes, there is John Prine's Pretty Good. A song I always liked, but then after The Patriot,
yeah,
becomes a very important song.
Yeah.
Patriot, not The Patriot. The Patriot is Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Yeah, he hacks somebody, stabs someone like 68 times.
You can tell the difference. The Patriot, no Jews. Patriot, Jews. Pretty Good by John Prine is a very emotional song for me. Very emotional song for everybody. I think it's a very powerful song. And then afterwards, I was hit with the overwhelming desire to listen to Young Americans by David Bowie, which we live for just these 20 years. Do we have to die for the 50 more? And then, my broken bottle juggling was all predicated on, when I juggled broken bottles in the show.
That's what the words broken bottle juggling means.
That's true.
Yeah, thanks for reordering them for us.
Sure. I just wasn't sure if you're up on your gerunds.
Okay.
He misses a step and cuts his hand. Showing nothing, he swoops like a song. She cries, where have all Papa's heroes gone? And when I do the broken bottle juggling and I cut my hand, which is often, and I show nothing. I just watch the blood come out of my hand, showing nothing. I always think about being a young American, which at one time I was.
Mm. Right.
I mean, 45 years ago, I was a young American. 50 years ago. I don't know. Have you been a hung American, just you and your idol singing falsetto? And then at the end of that song, David Bowie sings, ain't there one damn song that can make me break down and cry? And I realized I listened to that song that I was sobbing uncontrollably. At that point, I mean, really sobbing, not tears like I think are 23 hours a day. I have tears in my eyes, but sobbing uncontrollably is only like once a day now.
Right.
I realized, well, this is funny. This is meta, right?
Yeah.
Ain't there one damn song? Well, yes, there's yours.
Yours, David.
It doesn't answer, ain't there a child I can love without judging? Ain't there a woman I can sock on the jaw? But ain't there one damn song that made me break down and cry?
Yeah.
David did that within himself. Just did that whole thing. So I felt that while we were listening to Penn Sunday School, I was dancing to Young Americans, right?
Yeah.
This has been a very difficult week in Las Vegas. You know that Zack Snyder just did a movie about zombies? You know what that was called? Someone will look it up. I mean that Reddy Rich. Yeah. He did a zombie movie that everybody was saying, this is a really smart, wacky zombie movie. And people that were saying that are people that have never seen zombie movies because they're all...
they're all smart.
They're all smart, yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies is essentially a smart form. Yeah. It's not like a rom-com.
No.
All rom-coms are stupid, okay? But zombie movies are usually allegorical and interesting stuff. So Zack Snyder makes one and somehow he gets to people and go, I don't usually watch zombie movies, but this one is smart. If you don't watch zombie movies, you don't know that this one is smart. Anyway, what's the name of the movie?
Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead. Bingo.
Ding.
Okay.
Reddy Rich was really frustrated there. He did a lot of work.
Jumped on him.
Fucking cut him right
What out. Happens in Army of the Dead is there is a virus in Las Vegas. They wall off the city and nuke it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the virus is causing zombies, and they're gonna wall it off and bomb it because there's the zombie-making virus. It's hard not to think that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah.
Hawaii, Chicago, and L.A. have said that their citizens should not come to Vegas.
Yeah.
Hawaii, where everyone is having heart attacks, L.A., where everybody's having car crashes, and Chicago, where everybody's getting shot.
Yeah.
Three dangerous places, mm-hmm. Okay? Poi, Ford, Colt 45s. That's what's killing those people.
Yeah.
And they're telling their people, don't go to Las Vegas. Because Las Vegas is too fucking dangerous. Because Las Vegas has a lot of people who aren't vaccinated who come together to put a little petri dish that we call Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah.
I don't believe Las Vegas is really that dangerous to people that come visit.
Right.
But Chicago, Hawaii, and LA have said that, and that means that people are not going to come to Vegas, some people. Now, I don't know if you listen to the elected officials of Hawaii, L.A. and Chicago. I don't believe I've listened to elected officials from any one of those places.
Right.
And I believe if I lived in those places, it would be the same information. But it's not good for Las Vegas for those people to say that.
Yeah.
Just not good.
It's not good.
So yesterday, there was an event.
Will this story give us hope or no?
Which side are you on? Are you on the side of the virus or on the side of humanity?
So like a month ago or over 5 weeks ago, we said like, let's put a date. Seems like things are just generally improving.
Uh-huh.
Let's put a show together 5 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they give plenty of time for anyone who wants to come and people make plans and we can, the world is generally improving. We'll just feel even better about doing a show.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was the way it was going 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 months ago, we were planning our fall tour.
Yeah.
That was before we were thinking, well, maybe they'll wall off Las Vegas. We won't be able to get out. I'm actually thinking that this virus is, I'm not going to make any big statements here.
Yeah.
But ever so slightly less preferable to the zombie making. Virus. Zombie making virus does not use up all our ventilators.
No.
Does not use up all our hospital space.
Yeah. No.
And we get something to do during it.
Yeah. We feel good about killing zombies.
And it uses up ammunition, which for America is a great
thing. For Chicago, great thing. Kill the brain, kill the ghoul.
Yeah.
Kill the brain, kill the ghoul. Basic rule. Yeah. You don't have to say, well, if you're indoors, wear a mask. If you're outdoors, kill the brain, kill the ghoul.
We could be on Facebook doing conspiracy theories. It's like, is double tap just the gun industry getting you to use twice the amount of ammunition as you should,
right.
or whether one tap is sufficient.
You don't have to tell anybody to stay 6 feet away from a zombie. Very simple.
Kill the brand, kill the ghoul.
Yeah.
Kill the brand, kill the ghoul.
Yeah.
This public service announcement brought to you by the city of Nevada. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul. That's all you got. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul.
Yeah.
Not if you're all vaccinated and you're outdoors and you're serving chicken.
Yeah.
You cannot wear masks. But if one of you is not vaccinated and you have corn,
yeah,
all of you need to put on a mask except people who are under 12.
Right.
Fauci says, run from zombies. Fuck that guy.
Kill the brand, kill the ghoul.
I'm going to stay.
Kill the brand, kill the ghoul. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul. And then you have the people, oh, you're a zombie denier. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have to outrun the zombie.
Okay. Okay. Zombie denier. What's that over there?
What's that clawing at your door? Some liberal snowflake.
Let him in. Don't even bother letting him in. We've seen what happens. The hands come through the walls.
Yeah.
That's going to happen soon. The hands will come through the walls. They'll be in black and white if they come through the walls. If they come into the mall, they're in color.
As this spread too fast to know the origin, but someone wrote, I think it's time to stop saying, I avoid that like we avoid the plague. Clearly, we don't avoid the plague.
I avoid that like I avoid reading anything that's not electronic.
Yeah. I did get a couple of, someone said the DMV. Someone said going to my friend's open mic.
Go to my friend's open, kill the brand, kill the ghoul.
Yeah.
So I was on stage at the Link. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul, I was saying. Kill the brand, kill the ghoul. If you're vaccinated or if you're wearing a mask, things are still pretty safe in Vegas.
Yeah.
We're not that different from other places. But the hospitals are full of people who aren't vaccinated and didn't wear masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's bad. My wife had a job, you know, my wife's a neonatal ICU nurse. She usually works with babies, got transferred to another section of the hospital. And her job for 12 and a half hours was to look at a monitor that is of each room on the COVID ward so that if someone knocks their oxygen out, she can call the nurse to go in there and fix it because they are going to die in 8 minutes.
Now, how many
I don't know.
Cameras?
Screens, like 10.
All I want to know is if it was an even number, if she could put like the Beverly Hillbillies in one of the screens.
Jed's knocked his oxygen off.
Well, luckily, Grandma could do some doctoring.
Yeah.
Remember she'd do her doctorate?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do her doctorate.
Yep.
Did you ever see it? I was going through my dad's autograph book.
Yeah, you told me about it, yeah.
Yep. My dad collected autographs, yeah. And he had a lot of them. He still has them, 5 volumes. I don't know. I guess I got to sell them, but I don't know. Do I sell them as my father's collection, or do I break them up, or what do I do? I don't know. But I need some expert on a lot of, like, you know, people from the 40s,
sure.
Right? Cartoonists and stuff. But anyway, he has an autograph from the 30s of...
Buddy Ebsen?
No, Irene Ryan.
Oh, Granny.
Granny. I called her grandma. It's Granny.
Granny.
Granny. Granny, piece of ass. I mean, really sexy picture of Granny starting out in show business. Probably not considering, you know, when I get older, I'll be playing Granny.
More importantly, is that like someone like myself who never broke through as an actor, there's a voice that's like, oh, maybe when I'm older, I can book older roles. Turns out almost every older actor was a piece of ass when they were young.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Betty White was really hot when she was young.
Right. You know. And all the guys that are playing old guys.
Oh, yeah.
Pieces of ass when they were young.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think they're going to go, wow, let's hire Matt. He used to be really cool. Remember how cute he was? Oh, yeah.
I mean, Burt Reynolds was playing old guy.
Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds was like, you know, in Playgirl and stuff.
Yeah. He also aged out pretty well. He's like a hot old guy, I think, all the way to the end.
Not to the end.
Well,
the very end.
I understand. No one at the very end. I get that.
Well, Jackie Mason at the very end.
He was still hot.
I'm going to get to this vaccine thing, but you want to talk about Jackie Mason. Jackie Mason died.
Yeah.
Jackie Mason, who was thrown off the Ed Sullivan Show for flipping the finger.
Yep. And then managed to recover later in life and do his own Broadway show for a couple of years.
I didn't know that, because when they said controversial comic Jackie Mason passed away, I was like, there's nothing controversial about Jackie Mason from my childhood to now.
Unless you're Mel Gibson. But Jackie Mason.
Mr. Sullivan's giving me a hand signal. I've got one for him.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Ed Sullivan, give me a hand signal. I got one for him. Hand signal. The finger. And he says, he just said, you pointed the finger. And he says he was moving his hands quickly, and it was the index finger that was out, is what he says.
Yeah.
Right. That's what he said all the time.
Yeah.
And Ed Sullivan thought that he had flipped him off on TV.
Live on the Ed Sullivan Show, when there were only two channels. So every person on earth was watching.
That is a conversation where four of your comedian friends say, I mean, it's a good bit.
What's also, if the name of the show is the Ed Sullivan Show, and you find yourself giving the finger to a guy named Ed Sullivan,
you've made a mistake in showbiz.
Well, you either made a mistake or you're going to win big.
Yeah.
Depending on exactly who Ed Sullivan is. But once you know who Ed Sullivan is, you've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, were there like, because Kaufman kind of changed the game for people. Were there crazy comics at this time?
Oh, no. Before 1970, all the comics were very well balanced.
Good. Well, this is where I'm going with this. Sometimes it comes down to casting, right? Like, there's a crazier comic who would do that bit that maybe the host would find funnier, but Jackie Mason was kind of too...
No. Jackie Mason was... We look back on comics. We remember them wrong.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same as the Velvet Underground. The Velvet Underground now sound like a normal band because all the bands copy them.
Yes.
Lenny Bruce, Mort Saul, Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Were insane.
Yeah.
Right.
Really insane. Bill Dana, insane. Jackie Mason, insane. Alan King, insane. Do I need to mention Jerry Lewis? I don't think I need to mention Jerry. Do I need to mention Jerry Lewis? I'll save Jerry Lewis in case you come back and argue with me. Go ahead. Say, those comics don't seem that crazy.
They don't seem that crazy.
Jerry Lewis?
I could see that maybe he had a crazy period.
You make your point.
Jackie Mason, I think, was eccentric and crazy.
Okay.
And on top of everything else, ethnic.
Yeah. I mean, the earliest I can remember.
Sullivan.
Yeah.
Not Sullivan Steen. This is the man who made the Rolling Stones sing, "Let's Spend Some Time Together."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's the one that said to Bob Dylan, "You are not going to do John Birch Society Blues." Because it is controversial. You know what Bob Dylan said?
What?
That's right. I'm not going to do that. Or any other song.
Oh, okay.
He was the only one that Ed Sullivan made a correction on. And Bob said, you know that? I'm leaving.
Adios.
Yeah, adios, which is amazing. Because Ed Sullivan then said, you know, he's the one I really respected. I mean, Ed Sullivan went to the Rolling Stones and said, "Let's spend the night together. Try, let's spend some time together." Mick Jagger went, "Oh, all right." So, Dylan said, "It was, you know, it was the sound check rehearsal,
yeah,
3 p.m. for a live show that night." He said, "I don't want you to do that song. Do another song." Bob said, "No, gone. Probably across the street to Carnegie Deli."
And they got Senior Wentz.
I know. Before you write a zillion letters, I know that Carnegie Deli is not directly across the street from the Ed Sullivan Theater. I have played the Ed Sullivan Theater more than you, who's typing the fucking letter. I have walked from the Ed Sullivan Theater to the Carnegie Deli. I knew the owner of the Carnegie Deli, Sonny. I went to the Carnegie Deli. I went to the Carnegie Deli with Gilbert Gottfried, Lou Reed, Jonathan Richman, Pauly Shore. Yeah. I was at the Carnegie Deli with
you
those.
Should have stopped that list.
I was at the Ed Sullivan Theater with David Letterman. David Letterman. I walked around the Ed Sullivan Theater. So I know you go out, you go two blocks, you take a left. I know the Carnegie Deli's closed now. And I know it's not the Ed Sullivan Theater. Or is it the Letterman Theater? I don't know who the fuck is there. Colbert. Okay. Colbert. If you were at Colbert and you want to get a sandwich, fuck you. There's no Carnegie Deli. Bob Dylan walked to the Carnegie Deli.
I'm going to cut you off right here. I think you will be properly remembered as a crazy person.
Yeah. See? Comics. Batshit nutty.
I think you got no problem on that.
The finger. Also, I will be remembered, I think, for my Jackie Mason impersonation.
It's very good.
I don't want to say a
Well, you know, he's also an aardvark.
Yes. I love the Ant and the Aardvark. That's a great cartoon.
The Ant and the Aardvark. Great cartoon. It's Jackie Mason.
It's Jackie Mason as an aardvark.
But it's not Jackie Mason, right?
I don't know for sure.
I don't think it's Jackie Mason.
It's probably
someone else doing that?
Dawes Butler. Somebody.
Dawes Butler didn't do impersonations.
Okay.
It's probably Don Adams.
All right. Could be.
Who was Don Adams? Not Top Cat. Top Cat was Phil Silvers. Flintstones were the Honeymooners. I didn't know any of this when I was a child.
No, of course not. No.
So, do you have a Jackie Mason story?
I have a Jackie.
Do the finger. I get the finger for you. Here's the finger for you. You point me a finger. I get a finger for you.
The early 80s. I'm working in a club in Miami with
See,
my
this is what I was learning
partner.
In Spanish. When you're telling a story in the past, you can use present tense. Good example of that, Michael Goodell. Go ahead.
Well, that was a good example.
It's late at night. My juggling partner and I are driving around just doing dumb stuff because it's middle of the night and we're awake. We walk into one of the other clubs, and there's a poster for a fella named Tubby Boots.
Tubby Boots?
Tubby Boots. And in this poster, Tubby Boots is dressed as a 600-pound guy dressed as a nun, and there's like some disparaging, seems slightly racist, like quote from his show on it. And
it's going to get sexual.
I hope so. Not the story, but, you know, it could happen.
So he's 600-pound comic.
Dressed as a nun.
With the name Tubby Boots.
Tubby Boots and some quote on it about a joke from his show that seems, you know, off color to me and my partner. And we look at this, and it's late at night, and we're tired. And I'm not proud of this, but we make a pact at that moment. If either of us ever work with Tubby Boots, we have to quit showbiz.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why. It's not appropriate to do that. But, you know, we were young. It was stupid. We made that call. If we work with Tubby, we get in a show with Tubby Boots, we quit showbiz. We swore a solemn pact.
I had a friend who swore with another friend that if either of them got married, that the one who got married had to give all his records to the other one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like 10,000 records. Record collectors. We're going to give everything to them.
So we go from this place to Wolfie's Deli.
Uh-huh. Sure.
The Carnegie Deli of Miami.
Sure.
We're at Wolfie's. It's late at night. We're sitting in Wolfie's, and Charlie Fry is there.
Oh.
And we're sitting with Charlie and Sherry and talking and laughing about this Tubby Boots thing. We tell him we saw this poster, and he says, "Oh, I just got off a ship with Tubby Boots." Which scares the bejesus out of us, because now we go, it could happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was possible that I could be booked with Tubby Boots, but a ship, yes.
I just met this woman, and yeah. I might lose 10,000 records. Go ahead.
So we're sitting, and we're laughing about the Tubby Boots thing. And Jackie Mason comes into the deli.
Hello?
Hey, give me a pastrami. He's walking around.
Like a cop walking to a donut shop.
Come on. He's working the room.
I know. He really is.
Yeah. He's walking around.
I like that the Louisiana guy and the Massachusetts guy are doing a Jackie Mason impersonation.
<Pretty good.
laughs> I mean, that is the equivalent of blackface, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I won't do it again.
Oh, yeah. Me neither. But thank you.
He's walking around the room chatting, you know, he's being Jackie Mason.
By the way, if I saw Jackie Mason in a deli, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah. This was before he made his comeback. he was, you know, at that point, working small clubs and trying to keep himself alive. And he walking around, and he walks, as he walks by our table, we flag him down. Frank and I were excited. You know, Mr. Mason, we are huge fans of yours. And he says, young fellas like you, why do you know my work? We say, we have your albums. We listen to them. We're comedy jugglers and we're working. He says, you got young guys like you. You like my work. That's great. He sits down with us. He's chatting with us. We talked to Jackie Mason for 10 minutes. He says, I'll come down and see your show. It'll be great. We'll come. We'll hang out. It'll be great. And then Charlie Fry says, I was just on a ship with a friend of yours, Tubby Boots, and I'm sure he'd want to say hello. Jackie Mason, mid-sentence, stops, glares at Charlie Fry, and stomps out of the deli, completely out the front door.
No.
Charlie Fry is mortified. Oh my God, you guys were hitting it off with Jackie Mason, and now he hates you. He'll never speak to you again, and it's my fault. This is terrible. Oh my God. So we have no idea why this is going on. We have no idea why he hates Tubby Boots or whatever. My partner, Frank, we're laughing about it at this point. We're, that's funny. Frank gets up to go to the bathroom and stops because the lead guy dancer from our show is sitting at another table by himself. And Frank sits down and tells him this whole sordid tale. And when he gets to the part about Tubby Boots, his friend who had been laughing along all the time, all of a sudden gets very serious. And he goes, I don't know why that happened. He goes to the bathroom, he goes back and sits down and tells us what, you know, I was talking to him and he seemed really quiet at that. Well, it turns out he's Tubby Boots' best friend. So the whole Miami world kind of crushed into this little deli in one
second. And your friend couldn't stop sticking his foot in his mouth wherever he went. Any table he sat at, he was going to end in stunned silence
one
and glaring.
When everyone at Wolfie's hated us. Jackie Mason left. His best Tubby Boots, his best friend, stomps out.
This is the great. I always said if I ever worked with Tubby Boots, I would quit show business. Tubby Boots is my best friend. Let me finish.
Yeah, that's the only way out.
I'm going to try to tell a story that is hysterically funny, but might not. I might not be able to tell it.
It might not translate well to the
but I might not. I just want to tell you what. But Glenn Ally, the long-suffering Glenn,
yes,
and I, and a couple other friends, were walking along the streets of New York. And up comes a guy. And he says, you're Ben Gillette. I'm Jackie Mason's manager. I'm Jackie Mason's manager. I do the show. Come to the show. You'll love the show. We do the show. You're on Broadway. He's on Broadway. Come see the show. You'll love the show. And Glenn and I kind of look at each other, and we can't believe this guy is doing a Jackie Mason impersonation, and he's Jackie Mason's manager. I'm his manager. I've been working with him for like 20 years. We're great friends. Come to the show. We'll set you up. We'll get you a table. It'll be good. You'll love the show. Come see the show. Here's my number. And he walks away. And there's a long pause. And Glenn goes, come on, let's go get something to eat. And he lumbers off with these big steps, rocking back and forth, doing his best pet impersonation. And everyone else who's with us becomes helplessly laughing, and I don't recognize the impersonation. Why is he walking like Sasquatch? You know, and talking like a, you know, Fang puppet. But it was so funny to meet the manager talking exactly like the client. It was a crazy, crazy thing.
That's really great.
Yeah. And Glenn was so, so funny.
Yeah.
So when the other day, just like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Jackie Mason, and Glenn told that story again and did the walk. And that made me realize that Glenn has a very, very cruel impersonation of me that he has ready to go at any second.
Yeah.
And it has to be a very, very special situation. We do it in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. You're the only one who doesn't know this.
And he's Jewish, right?
Yes.
So is it blackface?
Yeah. So it's it was like Stephen Fry, you know.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry was interviewing us at the O2 in England, right? And we're doing this whole Q&A thing. And Stephen Fry says, I want to tell a story about Penn. And he turns to me and says, is it okay if I tell the story of you meeting Prince Charles? And I say, sure. And there's, you know, a bunch of people. It's an awful audience. And Stephen Fry starts telling this, which is also told on, he's told a few times on television and stuff, starts telling this story. And he goes into his impersonation of me, which is his American accent and his Penn impersonation. And I don't even recognize it as me, but the audience is falling apart. They're just laughing hysterically. And I come back to the, you know, the great Chris Rock introduced Spike Lee.
Yeah.
And during the introduction, one of my favorite moments, because it comes up all the time, right, in show business. Chris Rock says, you know, the next guy, and he gives this introduction where he goes, he's got front row seats to the Knicks. He's got all these successful movies. He's everywhere. And he's still bitter and unhappy. Here's Spike Lee. And he gets this huge laugh. And Spike Lee comes out and goes, listen, I'm not always complaining. I'm not always bitter. I don't come across that way. And Chris Rock goes, they're not laughing because I'm lying. And all I could think of when Stephen Fry got that huge laugh of my impersonation.
Oh, yeah.
They're not laughing because he's so far off. They're not going, boy, Stephen Fry, he can't do an impersonation of Penn at all. That's not why they're wiping their eyes. They're wiping their eyes. They've been listening to this guy talk for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And finally, the well-spoken English fella is telling us what we just heard from the other guy. It was pretty great. So I think Glenn Ally's Penn Jillette walk.
Yeah.
And his Penn Jillette sound. Yeah. Let's go get something to eat. Which is me doing Glenn doing me.
Pretty great.
Let's go get something to eat. And big swinging his arms and rocking back and forth as he walked. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
It was pretty great moment. But I guess if you're Jackie Mason's manager, you know, I mean, it's like you meet Jeff Rosen, you know, Bob Dylan's manager, going, yeah,
they're going to really like his new album. Trust me, you'll be happy, Penn.
I represent Christopher Walken. He is free those months to do your motion picture. That should be what everybody does, isn't it?
Oh, it would be great. You know, you talk about like when you're young, you pretend you're your own manager, right?
Right.
So some of us
I did, Bugs and Rudy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's a tactic people take or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to call to book Jackie Mason. You're like, I can't believe he's still doing this bit where he pretends like he has a manager.
Come on, Jackie.
You're too old to not have an actual manager, Jackie. Just get an actual manager.
It's a great thing. Anyway, we're going to talk, you know, this is the easiest ad we do.
Yeah.
Stamps.com.
Yes.
There's no easier ad because we all use Stamps.com. We all love Stamps.com and we don't want to go to the post office.
Yeah.
So it's really easy.
Yeah.
Because we use it all the time. This summer is showing welcoming signs of a more normal life ahead, we hope. Finally, you get back to enjoying life's little pleasures, like smiling at your neighbor, seeing a movie, and going to the post office? No, you don't want to go to the post office. Some parts of normal life aren't so great. You don't want to ever go to the post office. Now, Stamps.com is a long-term supporter of this show. We've used their services since 2012. Do you even remember 2012?
I don't.
Stamps was with us back then. So, so convenient. They make it easy for small businesses to mail and ship without needing to take a trip to the post office. Print official U.S. postage and shipping labels 24/7 without having to leave your desk or buy any fancy equipment. All you need is your computer and a standard printer. Now, if you are one of the Patreon people, you get postcards from me, stuff we send, allstamps.com.
Yeah.
Anything you do for scoops,
yep.
Stamps.com. Anything you do for barbecue soup,
Stamps.com.
Absolutely. Stamps.com. And you have sent out zillions of things, right?
Yeah, I send out things all the time to lots of countries.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
Stamps.com does all of it. Yeah. You're like a pro at it. Do you even have to ask some questions anymore?
No.
No. When we sent out stuff, and if you do have to ask some questions, they're wicked helpful.
That's it. When we started, we did, and they were totally helpful.
Stamps.com is a no-brainer. It's the easiest ad we do, saving nearly 1 million small business owners like you time and money. They offer deals you can't get anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS, up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. With their switch and save feature, you can quickly compare carriers and find the best rates every time. It's just your computer. That's all it is. It's great. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk. With my promo code
PEN,
you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage at digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in
PEN.
That's stamps.com, promo code
PEN.
Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Never.
That's a good deal.
Never. So, Jackie Mason, did you ever find out any more about Tubby Boots?
I never did. No. There's some clips of Tubby Boots working on YouTube, and it's insult comic stuff.
Uh-huh. And Tubby refers to being chubby.
Yeah, he is.
Chubby Tubby Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chubby Tubby Boots a hoot. That's what might be my review in Variety.
Yeah, I think we should be clear with the audience that when Tubby Boots dies, is he already dead?
He's already dead. Tubby's
yeah.
dead.
So I was going to say, this also counts as the Tubby Boots show as well. We're doing it now.
And to be fair, I had never seen Tubby Boots. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
misjudging him entirely and just being wrong.
Also, you can find that that changes. You know, I went to see Dean Martin.
Right.
When I thought that was just going to be the cheesiest show in the world.
Yeah.
One of the best shows I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about making fun of old people in show business is they are...
They're good.
Really.
There's no one better than Charo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Remember people don't know.
When we had Charo on Sin City Spectacular.
Yeah.
Just a skilled pro. Unbelievably skilled
and
pro.
And there's a camera problem. We're going to be 20 minutes until we're ready to shoot. She sits out there and tells jokes and plays the guitar and is hysterical for 20 minutes and then says, okay, let's go.
Yeah. it was moving here, and this sounds really dickish to say because we're all like him now, but Carrot Top, when I first moved out here from New York City, it was a total comedy snob. And someone's like, nope, it was your wife. It was like, I'm going to take you to Carrot Top and you're going to love him. And I was like, okay. And I was totally floored by his show.
Carrot Top's hysterical.
He's really, really, really funny.
Yeah.
And so I started doing it to all my comedy friends. I would take him to see Carrot Top. And so after that, I was like, okay, if I can see a show here, there's obviously something I don't get. And so I want to make fun of these people, but I'll go no matter what if I'm offered tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened for Barry Manilow. I have no desire to see Barry Manilow whatsoever. Didn't even know enough about him to make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
I just was like, that sounds like an old name.
Well, also when he got a hip replacement.
Yeah.
Eddie Gorodetsky said the only time hip and Barry Manilow have ever been in the same sentence.
But then out comes this giant band and him leading everybody in and him just rocking out hit after hit. That you're like, oh, I didn't realize. Oh, I remember this song. Oh, I know this song. I know that song.
Uh-oh. Turns out I know every Barry Manilow song.
And then I'm not, you know, eating out of the palm of his hand, but this place is crowded with people who are loving him, and he is putting on one hell of a show for them. Yeah. It just was like, oh.
And on top of that, Barry Manilow, right after the Aristocrats came out,
yeah,
called me up and said, I saw the Aristocrats in the theater. I love it. I want my whole band to see it.
Wow.
So he came over the house with his entire band to see the Aristocrats.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Great.
That is great.
I started a Barry Manilow music video.
Yeah?
You what?
The romantic lead in a Barry Manilow music video.
I'm sorry.
This microphone might not be plugged in.
My headphones.
Romantic lead, Barry Manilow video. You can find it. It's...
I can't though.
You don't want to.
Exactly.
You don't want to find that. It's.
I may have the ability to locate this video. I cannot find it.
In Search of Love, number one in West Germany. You are
Godot, like Hasselhoff.
You are clearly stunned.
He's stoned. Penn has just turned to stone.
Juggling?
Nope. Not juggling. Ready just water. My fantastic acting.
What are you doing?
In the video?
Yeah.
I'm driving around looking for love. I'm driving around Houston in a...
Houston?
In a convertible.
Why are you in Houston?
That's where I was living at the time. And that's where Barry Manilow chose to make In Search of Love.
Is Barry Manilow in it with you?
No.
Oh.
I never met Barry Manilow. He's like, it's edited so that he's in the video.
Cuts from the story.
But it's not, back to the... at no point did I meet Barry Manilow.
Is there someone in the car with you?
There's another girl driving around Houston looking for love, and we find each other and spawn in a fountain in Houston.
I bet she was the one swimming upstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot.
Are you in?
This has totally ruined your world, hasn't it? It's just everything has collapsed around you.
You're in two different convertibles?
We're in two different convertibles, yeah.
Riding around Houston?
And driving around in Houston, looking for love. And
what color is the convertible?
I believe mine is white and hers is red.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. That is the first thing that's made sense.
I just realized, as someone who runs the Patreon, that I actually have to find this video. And I'm upset about it.
I'll see if I can find
it. How long are you together with her?
Only for the last 30 seconds of the video.
In a fountain?
Well, we're walking in front of a giant fountain in Houston, and they back up, and it's a shot from a mile away. And
you know what?
We're walking holding hands.
Fountain would symbolize
it. Yeah, yeah.
Holding hands. Who was the woman that did this part?
I never met her, and I don't remember her name.
Did she get stunt pay?
I presume same as me. And Cindy, like I said, the final
Cindy
shot.
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford. I don't believe I've ever seen you quite so disturbed.
You shut me down.
Who made the mistake of casting?
There's the question. There's the question.
That's what you've been searching for.
Yeah.
Who messed up?
At that time, I was in an improv troupe in Houston, Texas, and the improv troupe was used quite often. Many people from the improv troupe were used for commercials and stuff. And I just went to this audition and somehow looked enough like the guy they wanted that they hired me.
I would like.
There was no acting involved.
I would like to see the storyboard. What they drew that the casting person went, sure.
Yep. Well, there you go.
How old were you?
23.
Before I'd met you or even heard of you. I had heard of you.
We had met at Asparagus Valley in San Francisco.
And I had also heard of you as the fly-by-night juggler.
And Teller was like, are you the guy from the Barry Manilow video?
That's right. We hit it off right away.
In front of the fountain, right? White convertible, Houston?
It was Houston. I knew it.
I knew it was Houston. It felt like Houston. So I was Dolly Parton. Not for Halloween, for yesterday. I, Caesars, mm-hmm. and the governor,
mm-hmm.
were doing a event at the Link in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. to get those who were not vaccinated to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
It was very, 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 very surreal. We pulled up, and there was an armed presence, like five or six people in tactical gear with like mohawks that were there, I presume, to protect the governor?
Right.
Or in case there were viral riots?
And the governor's not popular.
He should be.
He should be.
Yeah, but he suggested that businesses close so people don't get sick. That fucking asshole.
He's friends with Teller. I mean, I know him a little bit, but mm-hmm. Deller and he are rather friendly. Really, really nice guy.
Cool.
And I said to him, you know, this virus thing, shouldn't the governor do something about that? And he said to me, yeah, you'd think so. You'd think the governor should be able to fix it. So we walk in through the kitchen like a trombone player, like I always do. Mm-hmm. No giant bowl.
Here's
Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, not a giant bowl guy.
No.
Going through Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, mm-hmm. which incidentally used to be the Polaroid Museum. That's the last time we were there. We walk in through the kitchen, and we have masks on that have the Caesars logo. And it's just so, I kept saying to Teller, can you imagine if your 1974 self could have seen you here in a mask in Vegas at this event? And we walked into the bar, and there was a little pipe and drape set up for the vaccines. And there are people sitting there, and there were gift bags, and there was a DJ going, okay, all the vaccinated people, let's see who's going to get Usher tickets.
Great show, by the way.
And then was it a great show?
He just started, yeah, and anyone who's going is just saying how incredible his show is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so you get vaccinated to get that.
Yeah.
And the governor's there and tells,
Turns out he wins the Usher tickets. I don't think it's rigged.
And I'm walking through, and there's people there, and these are people waiting to be vaccinated, and they want to shake my hand and post pictures of me. Which is a little awkward. I go, hey, let's follow all the rules. And I kind of do the elbow bump.
Yeah.
And then I pose for the picture, and I got my mask on. I go, listen, I'm smiling. Keep your mask on, too. Isn't that nice? We'll both be masked. And then I start walking out in the link, and they are maskless, which is the bad thing, and mostly topless, which is the good thing. People wearing very skimpy outfits. It's a hot day.
Yeah.
And, it's Vegas. It's a hot city.
Yeah.
And we walk down this little makeshift stage, and there's a DJ on stage. Okay? And it's just like a DJ, and he's going like, okay, let's go down to the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. They got vaccines. Get your first one or get your second one. Sign up for a weekend stay at Paris, or you can get tickets to Penn & Teller, or you can get tickets to Usher, or you can also, there's airplane tickets to, I guess, anywhere out of here.
The fuck out of this hot zone.
And I'm standing there, and I'm telling you, I'm in a movie. I'm having a complete and utter out-of-body experience. At that moment, I realize we've been in a pandemic for 15, 16 months, and that is completely freaking me out. And then I realize they're offering prizes for people to get vaccinated.
Because your life's not enough.
Well, that's what we're getting to. I walk over and I say to Glenn, Glenn says, hey, how we up? I say to Glenn, when I get up on stage, do I take my mask off? Talk? And he said, well, see what the governor does. Do whatever the governor does.
Yeah.
Said, if the governor jumped off a bridge, would I never.
And in that moment, the governor jumped off the stage.
And the governor just says, he just turns to me. Oh, horrible moment. The DJ's still talking, right? So there's that DJ sound,
mm-hmm. yeah,
of those exact speakers, the exact mic, yeah, the exact DJ. It's all over the world. They all sound the same. You can go to China, DJ on stage, those same speakers, same sound. That's all going on in a drone in the background. People are walking by. There are 5 television crews, nobody else. And the governor just turns to me and goes, we can't shut down again. We've just got to keep Vegas open. We've just got to do it. We've just got to get people vaccinated. We've got to.
Oh my God.
He's like praying to me, right? And he says, just go up there and, well, you know what to say. And he goes up on stage and he says, you know, get vaccinated, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel, get... And he does this very nice... This is Penn and Teller. And I come out and go, you know, you probably can't recognize us with the masks, but I'm the big one. This is the smaller one. We're Penn and Teller. And, you know, Teller and I are early adopters. We got Google Glass. We got Apple Watches. We got them before anybody knew they worked, you know? And we got the vaccine, I mean, really within minutes of when we were eligible for it. Teller and I got it. We're early adopters. And now we've had it for months. And it's all okay. It's all fine. It's working all over the world. It's really great. And if you haven't got it yet, now's the time. You were prudent before. Now you've thought about it. Now's the time to go down to Jimmy Kimmel, you know? And, you know, not only do you save your life, could very much save your life, you also help your society, and you probably save people you love and live with. Also, you can get a free gift bag, and you get tickets. You can win all this kind of stuff. So really, head right down there. And it is just, I'm crying in the wilderness, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's cameras there and stuff, and I walk away, and I come off stage, and the governor goes, ah, perfect. Just perfect. We just gotta.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're going along, and people want to pose for pictures, and I go, you know, get vaccinated. And they go, oh, yeah. Take a picture and go and walk back in. And I said, what are we doing now, Glenn? He goes, I guess we'll just take some more pictures, and, you know, you'll do a PSA with the governor and post for some more pictures, and we'll, you know, talk to the people who are getting vaccinated and thank the healthcare workers. We go in and go, hey, listen, all you guys, you know, nurses and people taking down the stuff, thanks a lot for doing this. You know, we gotta keep Vegas open. Let's get people vaccinated. And then there's a guy who's just on the mic, different guy from the DJ, just a guy, you know, another one of these endless list of heroes who's just standing there with a mic and a list in front of him going, okay, we're getting vaccinated. We got some other great prizes. Come on in off the street. You don't need ID. You don't need help. It's all free. Just get vaccinated. This guy just, you know, desperately clawing to get this. And there's people there. It's working. I mean, there are people
there. That's, that's what's, that's bizarre to me.
And then I was talking to LOD, and LOD said, Lawrence O'Donnell, LOD said, well, you know, there's a lottery in some states for like over $1 million.
There's one here in Vegas, they gave away money.
Well, that's the thing. And I said to him, what's weirder, offering $1 million lottery or a gift bag? Because I can't tell which is weirder.
Right.
They're both so far off the scale of weird, you know? And the governor goes, thanks so much, guys, for doing this. And I go, yeah, well, thank you. And then, you know, someone else comes up and goes, I want to thank you guys so much for doing it. And I just go, what did we just do? What just happened? And I'm walking down the alley, you know, out of the kitchen with Teller. And I just go, first of all, I never thought I'd play Vegas. I never thought I'd be a magician. I never thought I'd be successful. I never thought there'd be a plague and a pandemic. And I never thought with all of that, there'd be a vaccine and we'd be begging people to take the vaccine. Why me? Why am I was just having this complete right. existential crisis.
Yeah.
And then Teller and I are driving, get in the car with Teller. Yes, I got in the car with Teller.
You must be sick.
Yeah, I would have been better off blowing everybody who's waiting to get the vaccine. And I get in the car with Teller, and we're driving, and I go, man, Dolly Parton. What is Dolly Parton feeling? First of all, Dolly Parton, the most loved person in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Perhaps in the U.S.
Yeah, but certainly Tennessee.
Yeah.
Certainly Tennessee. Also, never made a partisan comment, I believe, in her life.
Right.
Never said pro-Hillary, never said pro-Trump, never said pro-anybody, anti-anybody. She's just Dolly Parton. Down to earth, honest. Dolly Parton gives $1 million, happens to place the bet on the right vaccine.
Yeah.
She's actually part of the vaccine.
Yeah.
She then does a PSA video of her getting the vaccine. She's got a little like sleeveless dress. She makes jokes about that. I mean, she's got a place there to get the shot. She does the shot on camera. She does the vaccine on camera. She then takes Jolene, one of the great American songs ever written. Dolly wrote it, one of her most popular songs. She gives rights to change Jolene to vaccine, and she sings a cute little get a vaccine song.
Yeah, parody of herself. Yeah.
Does that. She does, as far as I know, 10,000 PSAs.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day, yeah.
Come on, let's get vaccinated. She doesn't make it at all political. She's not playing for a team. She's not on a Biden team. She's not on a Trump team. She's not on any team at all.
Yeah.
Just, here's the vaccine, it'll save us. And Tennessee has this incredibly low vaccination rate. Now, back up to another reality where Dolly Parton hasn't put money in the vaccine and has it on the PSA. Can't you see us sitting right here in this conversation going, you know, if Dolly Parton
would
just come out, she'd get Tennessee on board. She could certainly get Tennessee.
I know how we can solve it in Tennessee.
Exactly. How can there be resistance to Dolly Parton? Dolly Parton could go up to me and go, you know, Penn, I think you should chop off your little finger. Sure, Dolly. Yeah. Which hand? Either one.
Yeah.
I mean, who would listen to Dolly Parton do a PSA and go, no, she's just trying to put a chip into us.
She's just a shill.
She's just a shill. Dolly Parton,
I trusted her.
Ain't no fucking shill for nobody, never.
Right.
I don't know. So I was thinking it's surreal for us, but it is nothing compared to how surreal it is for Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton going, I could get them to come to a fucking amusement park?
Right.
I built a fucking amusement park. I called it Dollywood. People came to Dollywood. I was able to be on the Porter Wagoner show and as a woman become an important songwriter in one of the most misogynist communities possible. I was able to get off the Porter Wagoner show and still have a career. I was able to become a movie star. I was able to do it. And I can't get fuckers to save their lives? What the fuck is going on? What good is it being Dolly Parton? I mean, I'm having an existential crisis on behalf of Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
But if Dolly Parton had been at that event and we were walking down the alleyway together, I guarantee she'd be feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, she's probably sitting home crying.
I'm a songwriter. I'm a guitar player. I shouldn't be telling people medical advice. And I am, and it's not working. I mean, so many levels of insane. So many levels of insane. It shouldn't be me. I mean, it should be, this is how it should go. We are suffering terribly. We are shut down. We are in misery. Oh, there's a vaccine. Good.
Right.
Let's all take it.
That's when every science fiction movie stops.
Exactly.
We've invented a vaccine. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Next day, we're not going to be okay. Nobody wants it. What? They think it's, what?
How?
It's yep.
And I can't even, Dolly Parton is as far as I can go in empathy. I can't think about the scientists that work 20-hour days.
No.
Because what are they doing now? What are they? Fuck you.
Well, you know, that woman whose name, I can't remember her name, that scientist who worked BioNTech.
Yeah. She's from Serbian or something.
Yeah. Whose name we should all know because we should be naming a holiday after her because we should
have. We should have tattoos.
We should have a parade and a tattoo of her or whatever. You know, I mean, she worked her ass off to do this mRNA stuff when everyone was like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Finally found a way to make a breakthrough working on the flu. The pandemic breaks out, and she's the only person who goes, actually, we happen to already be working on something like this.
Yeah.
The only one in the world.
And her husband, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kizmekia Corbett?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like, and then, you know, in the movie, it's like, oh, God, you know, like, what is it like to then listen to all the people tell you that it's a microchip and that it's like you can't take it or everyone's going to die exactly 1 year after they take their second dose and, like, you're like, oh,
And also just, I mean, it's also just offensive to say too fast. Because she's been working at it for two decades.
Yeah.
So it was like, too fast, fuck you.
Yeah.
Luckily,
yeah,
she's a better person than all of us put together.
Yeah.
Because she is not out in the streets with a fully automatic rifle going, I can make it easy to die.
What she needs is one of those dart guns. Just give people vaccines from a distance.
Yeah.
They're saying they're not going to go door to door in Louisiana because people are very serious about their privacy rights in Louisiana. Like somehow they would shoot you if you came to their door with a vaccine.
I've seen memes advocating it.
What?
I've seen memes, you know, just go like, hey, we're going to offer the vaccine door to door. And it's the bottom of the memes, the guy holding a shotgun, be like, go ahead and bring the government to my door or something like that. And it's meant to be like a cheering, like, hooray for freedom.
Hooray for freedom.
Don't tread on me with cleats that inoculate me.
Also, the whole, like, the government's not going to tell me to do anything. And then these companies make a mandate and these private organizations make a mandate. And they go like, you can't force us to take a vaccine. The fact that the company's making the mandate is the entire testimony that the government is not making you take the vaccine. The reason why you're hearing about it from an organization, not the government, is because it's not the fucking government.
And they have the freedom, which you said,
yeah,
over and over again, to hire anybody they wanted.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hire you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope Vegas will be okay. Every night when I'm on stage, it's just the happiest moments of my life. I'm walking on clouds. People are loving the show. It's the best show we've done.
Yeah.
We are filling up. We love it. And I do not want to lose that again.
No.
I didn't like it last time when we lost it.
It is an affront on our way of life. And then we're not exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ability for humans to gather is vital to many people's way of life.
Some would say everybody's.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're not vaccinated,
yeah,
we're sorry we said bad things about you. Just get vaccinated. That was Penn Sunday School. That was Penn Sunday School. Cha cha cha. And to our listening, you become naked. Thank you, Dolly Parton. Thank you, woman whose name we don't remember, who we should.
Corbett.
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 And thank you, Sisalap. Governor's doing a good stuff here. He's kicking the dachshund uphill best he can.
And when I say dachshund, I mean Republican.
You know we love you. You got anybody to thank there, Matt? Wake up,
Matt.
Well, Matt.
I was hating so many people in my heart. I forgot I had a job to do.
Matt.
Hey, I want to thank people that I hope are vaccinated. Larry Latouf, Mr. XGD Falcon, Adam Luce Loves Matthew Michael, Penn and Reddy, Adam Berzins, Alexander Hoffman, Allison Sage, Andrew Murnane, Benny Kirshner, Big Damn Clay, Blue Drinks Films, Brandon Knapp, Brogan Hastings, Brian and Michelle Lattle, Carlos Alvarez, Central Park Owl, Chris Marvin, Christina Keller, Christy and Bobby Mack, ClicksNexus.com, Colin Durham, Crazy Cat Lady Scoop, Damian Martin, Daniel, Two Clowns Are Eating a Cannibal, and one says to the other, I think we got this joke wrong. we'll end on that one.
And I would be more than happy to field emails about Carnegie Deli's location from Ed Sullivan's grandchildren.